Blog Talk Radio.
Or promise or not. We're not going to discuss each other's motives. And I'm not going to tolerate it in the committee room. So, if you came to speak on what a bad guy the other side is, don't. So we're going to conduct this thing within the bonds of civility, or we're not going to have a discussion. Now, we have a lot of people signed up. We're going to start off with, and I'm sorry to do this, I'm going to get the first speaker on each pro and con. The most you'll get is 5 minutes. Most people are only going to get three. I'm going to give the sponsor as much time as he needs to explain the bill. I am going to give a little extra time to the state superintendent of schools because I think that's appropriate. And then we're going to go 3 minutes each way until we run out of time. I will stay as long as I can, but senators will be coming in and out during the meeting. They are not being rude. They have other committees that are meeting that they're all members of, and they have to attend. So please don't take it as disrespect if senators are coming in and out during the committee hearing.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just wanted to ask, we are not voting on this.
We are not voting today, so there will be no vote taken today. This is just a public hearing, and we will take a vote right out of the box next Wednesday on this bill. That will be the first order of business. And since we have a limited number of time, I would ask the committee, before we vote next week, I mean, if everybody, all the committee have time to make all the statements they want to make, but I would appreciate if we could let the people that have come use up most of the time. I'm not going to tell you can't ask questions, but let's, you know.
Chair, I just want to ask you to consider the 5 minutes. 3 minutes is really a long time, and since we have so many people to speak.
Well, all I'm going to give 5 minutes to is for us to sponsor and talk about it.
Okay, I just wanted that to make that clear.
All right. Okay. We have our time here. So, Senator Glover, since you brought us here today,
yes, thank you so much for having this public hearing. It's very important to maintain here today. First, I'd like to state the purpose of Senate Bill 101 is to move Alabama towards having the best standards in the country. That's our goal. Prior to Common Core, our implementation from Common Core, well, we had the best standards and some of the best standards in the country. Fordham Magazine, Fordham Institute, ranked our standards some of the best in the country. Even said that our standards were superior to Common Core. And that's where we need to get. I mean, our reading initiative, Alabama Reading Initiative, math scores were going up. Our reading initiative is a model for other states. Math scores, ACT scores were going up tremendously. And that's what we should expect for our children, the very best. This week, we departed last year. Our German. I had more parents and teachers tell me to me different events, ball games, schools, shopping. When are y'all going to do something about Common Core? So there's a problem out there. And I feel like that we're going to introduce 12 to 1,500 bills in a session as a body that the voice of the people should be out there. We should have a bill that's something that they're very much interested in. And as I got into it and read, I was more convinced that we need to do something about this situation with our education standards. Politico's magazine did a survey. 17% of Americans support Common Core. I would submit that there's probably a lot less than that in the state of Alabama. When I decided to sponsor this bill, I went to some of the area private schools in my district in Mobile. And I asked administrators and teachers, I asked them, said, are you planning on implementing Common Core in your school? And I had a good feeling the answer would be no, but it was an emphatic no. Because what I'm seeing from them is that they have an obligation to provide excellent opportunities for their students. They have parents, many of which are both working to help support, pay for the tuition for those schools, and they expect excellence. Their parents expect excellence. And I feel as a taxpayer, and you as a taxpayer, should demand, if our tax money is going to promote education in this state, it should be the very best education. And we have some speakers today on both sides. You may hear that We're not a Common Core state. We're a Common Core where it's like we are. That we have a lot of local control. 85% of the curriculum is, of the standards, are Common Core. And if the kids are being tested on those standards, whatever we implement, whatever we provide locally or as a state, it may not even be taught at all if we are indeed teaching it. So that's something that you may hear that we're, you know, it's all local control and it's just not something that is evident to me. But anyway, I feel like as a taxpayer, you as taxpayers, we should demand excellent education. And you'll hear from both sides, and I wish and hope that over the next week that you'll come to a very good, clear decision what's best for kids in Alabama. And I do appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, hold one second. Tim, I have any questions?
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, we're now going to move into the public hearing, and we're going to start with the State Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Weiss. Welcome to round three.
Thank you. Senator Brubaker and committee members, thank you for this opportunity to speak today. I appreciate your comments going into this. I will honor those who address what the specifics are. And I thought I would couch my comments around the process of which we have made it to this third year of discussion. 5 years ago, group of teachers, group of administrators, group of professors, group of stakeholders around the state together made a decision that they liked some of what they saw in Common Core being considered by states around the nation. But they also, as Senator Glover said, thought our kids need more. And as a result, decided to add to those standards, bring through the state-approved process adoption of standards to our State Board of Education, a set of standards that we refer to as the Alabama College Career-Ready Standards in Mathematics and English Language Arts. Those standards went through the process of adoption as any other set of standards that's ever gone to the state of Alabama. Since that time, they have been reviewed and modified based on input from the public and from teachers. We have made those adjustments because it was what's right for Alabama. I'm very respectful of the concerns that I've heard from people who have a different opinion than I. I would be the first to say that I detest federal overreach. And as state superintendent and representing the state board, we've done great effort to make sure that we have not succumbed to anything that would require us to do something we didn't agree to when we adopted those standards. And as Senate Bill 101 refers to, also our waiver from no dollar fine. It's also part of this paper. Let me give you just a couple of scenarios of what would happen if this bill passes at this. Number one, it would disrupt the learning of 740,000 students. State of Alabama in mathematics, like the dark, that they have been working toward for over 3 years in mathematics. Beginning to see results. Under renewing our waiver from no child left behind, 100% of our schools in the state of Alabama would be considered failing and not making KYC. We would fall back under no child left behind. It would automatically restrict all of our flexibility we have under our waiver. Direct federal funds to the work we need to turn around our lowest performing schools. All of those decisions would be based on what the federal government determines we have to do to make those turnarounds happen. We don't want that to happen. We're seeing great progress by doing it our way, Alabama's way. I guess the other thing that concerns me, as I spoke to some of our board members yesterday, is our State Board of Education, by constitution and election, have been given the authority to set education policy in the state of Alabama. And we talk a lot about not letting the federal government overreach and go into the business of the state. I would hope that we would honor the constitutionality of anybody and their responsibility to set policy in the state of Alabama and allow them to continue if they have already to be the body to make academic policy for education in the state of Alabama. I've made a commitment to groups of individuals who differ with me on this, that I would never, my position of education, allow Alabama to enter into any agreement that would cede our authority to do what we are committed to do in Alabama. And as Senator Cooper said, every kid has an excellent opportunity for his education. Let me give just one quick scenario of a real-world example I experienced recently that is a result of what we're doing. I visit schools once a week somewhere in the state of Alabama to remain in touch with what's going on. I would urge everybody to do this. I went to Caswell Elementary School in rural Mobile County. High poverty, very rural. Walked into a fifth grade classroom where students were engaged. They were creating computer code program robots to traverse a cityscape that they had created in their classroom. That's all because nobody had told those kids that we needed to live down to some expectation of no college. We've now risen the bar. So we expect to keep the entire herd moving northeast and never be able to tell a child that they can't learn at levels we've never expected to live before. I watched that phenomenon occur, but also was shared by the teacher, the parent, thinking the community were struggling with that because that's not what they did. And I say this with all due respect, as the state superintendent, I will never apologize for the fact that we're challenging our children now to think and do things that maybe their parents did not do. We want to engage their parents in that learning process, but this is the wrong direction for the state of Alabama. And I think it's to you, as long as I'm in this position, we will never cede our authority to the State Board of Education, and on your behalf, anything we do in public.
Thank you, Richard. Just one second. I know I asked the committee to the questions to him, but he is the state superintendent of schools. So if you have any questions for the superintendent, now would be the time. I have a question. You said that this bill would repeal our No Child Left Behind waiver. Is that, did I miss that when I read it, or is that just part of the Common Core process that would get swept up in a general repeal?
It's totally separate. The Common Core is one issue. It also refers to on page 3,
okay.
Part E, it's part of the termination process that directs us to terminate our flexibility waiver for the U.S. Department.
All right, I did not put that together, but that was the No Child Left Behind. Thank you, Dr. Biden.
Mr. Chairman,
please.
Dr. Biden, I'm pretty much this morning. One of the you had mentioned that the standards are important for teachers and improvement in the quality or the learning of the children in the state. Standards alone, of course, only outline what happens after the classroom. Obviously, the testing will be an important part of evaluating exactly how well the new standards are being taught and then how well the children did. So I know that you're asking for more money for testing in the budget. And the test from last year when we started implementing, I guess we just had the first round that's come back from ACT, is that correct?
Sure.
And we were prepared to see some of those scores not be as good as what we may have scored previously on other tests because they reflect the balance around the nation, correct? Or they're based on the national test.
They're based on the U.S.
Now, one of the concerns I have with the people that say, well, I'm opposed to the federal government is that once you have standards that will collaboratively reach, debate on National Governors Association and the financial officers, but ultimately if you have the test and you have the curriculum, then with the course of study, the test and you have the standards and the curriculum lines up. So there does become some way to influence what actually gets taught from aligning standards to tests. But that being said, as the education budget chairman, you and I have discussed it, if we want to make sure that, from my standpoint, we are where we are. I don't think that a repeal is going to happen. We want to make sure that we find out whether or not these new standards are actually contributing to better performance, better learning by the students.
And to that, I would add, one of the reasons that this is, again, makes Alabama unique, the time for all of the conversation. We're one of the few states that did not sign on to the federally funded source that came out of fund source. Our state board made a decision early on in this process that that was not the direction we were going to go. We looked to our universities, our two-year colleges and business industry, and asked them what assessments they looked to for kids coming to them. And in Alabama, ACC has the source to the test, which is not futile. We thought what better way to assess if we're moving kids toward that readiness level. Readiness is the key word, not ready to graduate, not ready to enter. Not have to be remediated. What better measure than a live data assessment so we're not getting caught up in making sure it's a one-to-one match with our general look at are our kids on the trajectory.
tests alone don't evaluate a full child, but they are, I do believe, having taken ACT and other tests when I was Stanford achievement and other, when I was in school. Finally, because of the concerns expressed by large portions of the public, because the school board did make the decision to enter into the new standards with math and English language arts, you know, we have put a moratorium in the budget on expanding into the science and the history aspects. There's some people are concerned that English language arts would be used to expand into those. But at this time, that limit is still there. And what we want to do is make sure that the math standards and the English language arts standards are paying the big dividends and benefiting the students like we think they are before we expand those standards. And I hope you'll continue to support that. Okay, bye.
Thank you, Senator Pittman. Dr. Bice, the next speaker is... Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Sanders.
Just a brief question. Dr. Bice, the fact that I hear on this is often led by the fact that somehow several PhD programs, you address that.
Sure.
That's not my impression.
Well, and that's where it gets complicated. It originated as absolutely not a federal process. I can say this, and this has nothing to do with me myself. I'm the only living human being standing in this room today. It was at the first meeting in 2008 when a group of us from the 50 states came together and said, how can we collectively learn from each other and come away with the best of all of our learning, coming up with standards that we can look at, not require, look at by state, see if we could use them to collectively come around moving our nation forward. Math and reading and English language arts because of the nation we were digressing with those here. That's how the process was moving. Regretfully, and I told the president this to his face, regretfully, they looked across and said, this looks like a good idea too. Why don't we include this in some of our competitive grants for states to be able to get money? That's Senator Ross. And that's regretful. I'm very proud to say, that Alabama has not been part of those grants. We're better off. We have purposely not pursued a couple of those that would tie us to things that at the state we determined we're not going to do. So Alabama took a hard, our state board took a very direct, Dr. Borton leading the charge at that. We made a very direct decision at that point. We would never cede our sovereignty and our authority to direct education. Crafting our plan around what works best for us. Our waiver is unique to Alabama. Our waiver for No Child Left Behind, and we've had some heated discussions with you about what we will and will not do in terms of that waiver, and we stood our ground on all of it and respectfully have been given a go. So I'm very aware of our need to ensure that we are not being directed by anybody outside the state of Alabama to do the work. We do, however. I would agree for yes to say we don't want to totally close the door on the federal government because we do rely on the funding for being not the state. A lot of things in our state, we need to make sure that's done in a collaborative effort, not direct.
Thanks, Senator Figure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Ray, I recall when I was chair of Education Committee during that time, I was part of the London 4.20 Conference with the Council of State Government. And I understand, too, that it was the National Association of Governors, the Governor Association, along with it. I can never say the other educational entities. That's right. This came from that.
Right.
And it was, of course, majority Republican governors that pushed this effort. And I just applaud you for all the work that you have done to make it work in Alabama. And I would like to say I get as many calls from parents and from the business community, and from my Chamber of Commerce, saying do not repeal Common Core because it is working. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. Maybe the answer to this question is simple. Thank you for being here.
Sure.
Probably the most vehement thing I've heard is the inability to help their children with their math problem. I had... One fellow, I think his granddaughter in the third or fourth grade, and he's an engineer, And he said that he couldn't figure out what they were doing, and he couldn't help the child at home do their homework. His daughter got on, the child's mother got online and tried to figure out what was going on. He was extremely frustrated. That's just one example, and I've heard that many times from him. I'm not sure that this discussion is pertinent to what we're talking about here today, but what's the deal here? I find it hard to believe that an engineer can't figure out how to do fourth grade homework in the style.
And I hope I'll give this answer with all due respect when I get that question. My first response is, we have several that are here today. Call their teachers. Go visit their teachers. They can help parents. And we're having schools now that are having parent guides. They help equip parents to be part of the learning process. We know that the learning curve for all of us, myself included, so now we're asking something different of our children and our parents. And we not only ask them to do that, but we ask them to understand it, be able to explain it, so that they can apply it in a variety of situations, and that's a huge principle. So we know we've got still work to do. This is a problem. And I respect Senator Glover. I know that the concerns he's heard, I've heard. And it's a collaborative work and process that we can continue to do with our teachers and our parents and our kids to be better learners, be able to apply what they're learning.
Jeremy Zalowski, president of the Alabama Council.
And we're back on our 3 minutes, so.
Thank you. Welcome to the meeting.
Thank you for having me today. Good morning, thank you, Senator. I'm Jerry Delkowski. I'm a mathematics educator at the University of Alabama, and I represent multiple aspects, first one being president of the Alabama Health Center. Essentially, we are a group of distinguished K-12 mathematics teachers and teacher education professionals in our state. Over the past 2 years, I have asked our membership to fill out their online surveys that have essentially been anonymous. So they have the freedom to say whether they support Common Core and Alabama College of Career Readiness Standards. And essentially 93% of our membership has supported the thing. And so that was a blind survey in which there was no fear of posting on your Facebook page or posting to your website. So with 93% of our membership supporting it, I think it's overwhelming that math teachers in the K-12 field in our organization do support the standards. Second, I'm Alabama's only instructor, essentially a professional group called Teachers Teaching with Technology, and I provide professional development to multiple teachers in the state. I've also provided professional development out of the state. In the last 3 years, under the current standards, I've provided more than 200 hours of professional development for math teachers to use technology in the classroom effectively. I've only heard comments regarding how to make the standards better. How can I make this better for my kids in my classroom? Not with converting back to 2003 standards, which still would actually effectively do. And those standards have essentially been labeled as low standards by multiple organizations. Last, I represent preparing tomorrow's mathematics teachers in the state of Alabama. 80% of my graduates from the University of Alabama go on to teach in the state, 20% go outside the state from it. I basically present the philosophy of that all students can learn mathematics at a proficient level and have an equitable opportunity to do so. That's my philosophy as a teacher educator, not whether these standards are better than other standards. Although my students do examine both the old standards and the new standards to look at the complexity and differences that are expected in those standards. Essentially, when we come out of there, my students generally feel like the old standards are essentially high school graduates having an eighth grade basis level. That's my students' take on what they study. No Child Left Behind essentially watered down, and most states have essentially admitted they have lowered the expectation under No Child Left Behind, and state data supports this. Last year, Alabama spoke in a general election primary. If people wanted politicians to repeal a standard, those who ran on that platform would have been elected. None of them were elected. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Professor, and I appreciate you pulling the plug in 3 minutes.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Dave.
Welcome to the Education Policy Committee, and you have 3 minutes.
Okay, thank you. With respect to Mr. Brubaker, some of my comments I will try to set up. I think one important thing that, and this is my first time, by the way, so I'm not a special affair with me. Thank you. But I think one aspect that we are totally missing is the morality that we're facing in our country and with our students. I know that a lot of times people say, well, this is not a social issue. Pardon me. You make a decision. In your group, you make a moral decision according to how you think. So I think morally, that we have to look at what's happening to our country, to our children. I don't feel like that a classroom is a herd. I feel like a classroom are children learning. And I think that with children learning, they have to learn morality at home first. But with Common Core, I feel like that you will be taking the right away from parents and grandparents and the people that need to be first in the children's life. So I beg you to look deep within your heart. Why are we doing this? What is our motive? Why do we want to put every child in one box? All of you make a difference. Don't pigeonhole children and put them in a box and let all children be the same. We want all children to be the same. But I beg you to look out and speak to your pastor, to your parents, your grandparents. If morality is not an issue, I I also understand that Dr. Body says that they will not do this, they will not do that. Well, I never thought I'd be here doing this. So in the future, will we as people have a right to change and go further down the road? I see destruction of having our children march to one drum beat. God forbid. I believe if we look back in history, we see that happen with Hitler and with a couple of other nations that have fallen asleep. Look at the motives and what is really behind Thomas Cole. And don't take our children down this path. By the way, you were elected if you weren't appointed by a majority. Listen to the majority. Isn't that the American way? That's the way I grew up. And lastly, I will tell you that from where I'm coming from, I will tell you first and foremost, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would ask you that the second book in my life would be the Constitution. I hear all about the Constitution, but I'm not understanding where you're coming from with a constitutional background, Tommy Toler. I'm not getting it. All I'm getting is what I read, this thing is terrible and take our children down the path. And a nation that will not recognize God, and we see that happening all around, will, as God promises, we will fail without God in control of our children and our families. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mrs. Day. I know everybody wants to applaud, but it takes time away from the other speaker. So let's go to who's next.
Stephanie Livers.
Yeah.
President of the Association of Math Teacher Educators of Alabama.
Hey, if you're here representing an organization, just please tell the committee.
I'm a mother of two boys and children. I am a professor at the University of Alabama. I am a National Board Certified teacher with 9 years in the classroom and 3 years as an instructor. I have taught higher ed in 2005. These Common Core standards I participated in and gave feedback on the draft, as along with my mentors and colleagues. So I fully support our current college and career readiness standards in Alabama, and I oppose Senate Bill 101. The main thing, and I love the hashtag real learning, so what is real learning? What does that look like in a classroom? If you think back to your middle school classroom that sure was teaching a procedure, you could have been one of the lucky ones who got it, was making connections, and was ready for the next problem. But you sat waiting for the teacher to answer these questions that might have seemed redundant or obvious. And that traditional approach caused a unleveled education. We have adults who, in our country, lack confidence, content, and competence. Tutors go down at a fast food restaurant or retail establishment. And so what is real learning? So an ideal classroom under Common Core or college and career readiness standards, which I am in and out of classrooms, monthly, if not weekly, supporting teachers, communicating with parents and families, helping them be transparent for their teaching. So an ideal classroom, the teacher is giving an authentic task, one task, not a page of, 50 problems, plugged stuff. One authentic task. And kids are coming up with these strategies that you see out of context in social media. So looking at those crazy numbers and how does that work and how do I help my fourth grader solve that problem, the mind and developmental stages of kids, they decompose those problems. And luckily, there are names for all those crazy strategies. And they date back to, and I meant to bring it, had a textbook from the 1800s. There it is, partial sum, partial product. So this isn't new. It's been there forever. And so authentic learning is all about the task chosen. So the question doesn't lie in whether the standards or expectations are wrong for Alabama. The issue is the curriculum materials that stay there alone.
I'm very sorry. We're going to have to leave it there.
That
works. I apologize, but we're out of time. Who is our next speaker?
Katie Stingley.
And I do want to share some thoughts that I have on Common Core. I know Common Core. I know it pretty well because I did the research on it and introduced the first resolution that the Republican National Committee brought out in sounding the alarm to Common Core. Processed it through the channels at the Republican National Committee, and the committee, with the help of my cohorts on the Resolutions Committee, we passed it 168-0. So therefore, it was off to a pretty bad start with the Republican National Committee. I'm here today as not as a representative of any political party, anything else. I'm here because I am a small businessman, and I take a look at this through two sets of eyes. The first set of eyes would be as a grandfather. Six grandchildren, more to come, I hope. In the process of looking at this, I would say, why is it that all the dots on this do not seem to line up? In other words, we've got people in the business community that are not supporting this that normally you would think would be supporting it. And then also we have legislators that are not supporting this when their constituents do support it. Why are these things happening? Well, as it turns out, I think I have an explanation for both. The business community has taken this at face value that it would create a better climate for business activity in the state that where it's to be enacted. The second thing is with the legislators, they can take the same position. If it's creating a better business climate, it should be good. That's okay in and of itself. And as a businessman, I could be here and say, yes, I want to support Common Core because it does create a better business climate. I don't know that. I don't feel the matter is that we have another set of glasses we need to look at this through, too. And that is of our us being a father, a mother, a grandfather, a grandmother, a mimi, a pawpaw, whatever, a guardian of minds that are not ready to make these decisions on their own. So I say this, in order to get to the very bottom as to why the dots do not line up with the business community and the legislative effort here, we need to take a look at this and say, have I really looked at the core of Common Core? Am I in line now looking at the core, the long-term effects, and I am charged with the responsibility of guarding what is put in the minds of those that are not ready to make these decisions for themselves. And as a result of
Mr. Reynolds, I'm going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much.
Mr. Reynolds' comments, and I would like to ask somebody at the State Department, if they would, to give a young lady that had some issues with some of the instruction she was receiving that she had a hard time understanding. And then with the teacher, the math teacher, that applauded the standards and with some of what actually she's teaching, I think it would be good to ask some exact examples like what Mr. Reynolds said, so the committee can look at some of the problems that are causing the issues with the young lady and then some of the ones the teacher thinks are so good. And that way we can look at them for ourselves and help us as we evaluate these standards. Thank you.
And that's exactly the reason we're not going to vote today. That way everybody will have a week to reflect on what's said and hopefully...
If the State Department can facilitate that, I would appreciate it.
Thank I'm you. Sure they're making a note. Okay.
Anne-Marie Cordell from Cherokee Bend Elementary.
Welcome to the
committee. Thank you. My name is Anne-Marie Cordwell. I'm a 2015 veteran of first, second, and third, fourth grade. This year, I'm representing our state as the elementary final national. I'm here today for one reason. I'm here to represent the people of our state. My prayer every morning is that I wake up to speak with integrity, honest passion, purpose, and love for the people. The standards I'm completely in favor. I oppose Senate Bill 1. I'm in favor of the standards because they're an end point. They're a goal for us to reach. They do not dictate, they do not mandate, they do not motivate what I do with my children. The children are the guide for the learning. I want you to know that standards are not curriculum. They are not tests. They are not worksheets. They are not harmful to children. They are things. They are a document and a goal for us as a teacher. I'm a learner and a teacher. I would put myself in the learner category first. I'm still learning. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to get deeply and understanding changes, to look at student work and see how we forward into the 21st and out of it is not going to be what the past was for us. School looks very differently, like you said, from school and also the music. So I appreciate you listening and hearing us. When we make that vote, or when we think about what we're doing for our state, don't just think about it.
Thank you very much for your comments. Next.
Deborah Garrett, the Executive Director of the School Forum.
Garrett, are you? There you are. Welcome to the event.
Thank you for having me today. Our spring intern is back to talk to the firm to find out the part that I'll be referring to today in our presentation. You may have heard the phrase, where's the white hat? It used to be a phrase in Old West, and now it has been popularized again by the villain Olivia Pope on TV. Do you have a hat at this moment that you wear as a lady? We will closely adult experiment put under President Bush's administration. So the problem is radically changing education and improving test scores. So does Plan 2020 to Common Core. The problem is that just as Total left behind that, left children behind. Common Core leaves children in a remedial state and violates the civil liberties. Common Core will not, and is not moving our state home. If we truly care about children, we should have a backbone to get the Fed out of our classes and allow parents and our wonderful public school educators to do their job properly. The state longitudinal database and data center is shown on the Alabama State Board of Education website. It's a link which will send the information from the state level to the federal level. The type of data collected on Alabama students will not be helpful. Over 400 data points will be collected on all federal links for sale on the Alabama State Department of Education website through an external data request process that is currently on their website at this moment. Every child will be required to participate in the comprehensive counseling and guidance model, which will collect information on children's attitudes, beliefs, and values. Plan 2020 shows that textbooks will be aligned with Common Core as well, which means the United States Department of Education is directly addressed. Programs like Plan 2020 and Common Core will always sell because nothing can ever replace the power of an individual teacher or an individual parent helping the child on an individual level. But programs are enacted that refuse to take into account the element of human freedom, the choice, and the power of individuals, they will always fail. Nothing in history shows that anything but individuals ultimately leads the positive changes that we need in our society. We all know that this is true. When we think about what really has made the changes in our world throughout history, we think of inspirational people, not federal policies created by bureaucrats in the United States Department of
Ms. Garrett, I know some of the committeemen are going to have questions. Stop you right there.
Okay.
Senator Ross.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. I listened to you intently and talked about the program and how it's set up by the federal government. I wrote a dissertation on No Child Left Behind. Because, of course, I didn't feel as though it was good for the state and the direction of the government. But through that dissertation, the research that was done, it showed that president after president had had educational initiatives. It even took me back to Nation at Risk when we began to look for standards to help our children improve the society. But when I listened to you speak about this being born out of the federal government, I disagree with you. I sit in this room today with Dr. Morton, who is the former superintendent. I stood across from Senator Hank Sanders, who we flew, Dr. Morton, if you remember, to the National Governors Association when the Common Core standards were determined. And it wasn't a federal program, something that was born out of the state, out of the governor's states on that day. Now, presidents come and presidents go. I didn't see the backlash of the implementation of No Child Left Behind as I see today when the president decided to adopt what we all consider something good for the children. And so when I see this layout that you have criticizing the state of Alabama for, I guess, the implementing something that was passed out from the federal government, I have to disagree with you. So again, I say to you, when did the Common Core come into effect? Give me a date and give me a time.
Well,
from the federal government.
From the federal government. Well, we have, if you look in the start, when you look at the book that's in the chart, when the federal government got involved, because the plan itself was come up actually by somebody that was a college dropout. It wasn't formulated actually by the National Association. They approved it, but the plan did not itself originate within the state. So when we talk about it being a state-led plan, that's what we're talking about.
Nor the federal government, right, at that time. It wasn't initiated by the federal government. When the dropout wrote it?
The original individual that came up with it in
right.
the basement that was a college dropout that had no education background,
right.
He, when he got, he first formulated that, and then he brought it to the forefront of
some education leaders and some people within Washington, D.C., that's when the federal government started getting involved in it. Now, in Alabama, adults was in conjunction with the Frame 2020, which is essentially the ESDA flexibility waiver, which was referring to No Child Behind Act, as everybody knows. The 1965 Elementary and Secondary Education Act is essentially every time it's just revamped.
And renamed.
Right, renamed. Okay. So it's essentially the same thing, it's just been revamped. So when we're discussing today and we're debating on the public policy of what is Common Core and what is the policy within that, we're saying, do we like this newest revamping of it? And as I'm saying in my presentation, as you are familiar with in the presentation, when there's a lot behind that, the No Child Left Behind Act was a failure. And as an educator, we also agree with it. The principles that are within the No Child Left Behind Act are the same principles that are within the Common Core. They're just revamped and heightened. There's not a change in outcome expectations. There's not a change from the focus of the educator being on individuals being on the test. So when we talk about the shift in education.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you there because I know some other senators. Okay, you have any more questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to congratulate you on your presentation because I've never heard of a presentation where the venom just flowed from your lips on your distaste for the federal government. I wish I could count the number of times you referred to the federal government. But my question to you is, what does it matter where anything came from as long as it is helping our children? And I totally disagree. This did not come from the federal government. And it's very sad because when President Barack Obama was elected president of these United States, twice, if you will, but even before his reelection, he was blamed for Common Core. And that is the greatest lie ever told. And that's how this revolution was started. And it started with, I remember, the Republican women coming to us at that time when I was chair of education. So, you know, I wish you would get your facts straight because they are not straight. It's propaganda.
Okay, I'm going to give you a brief chance to respond, but
yeah.
I remind everyone, let's keep the lid on the five words. You may respond briefly, and then we need to move on.
All the information we start with is documented, all kinds of government sources, but all kinds of government sources from the United Department of Education, from the Elementary State Department. So, as far as it being propaganda, it's all well documented. We start with one of those sources.
Okay, I think we heard your answer. Thank you very much. And who is our next speaker?
Phyllis Mary from Business Council of Alabama.
Are you guys there?
Okay, we're on the clock.
Not yet. When you start with it, you go ahead and begin.
All right,
this could take a while.
I'm William J. Canary, President and CEO of the Business Council of Alabama. I thank the members of this committee for allowing us this opportunity to have our 3 minutes here with you today. And I thank the still sponsor, Senator Glover, for continuing the dialogue with us in the business community with other aspects of this issue. BCA represents over 750,000 working Alabamians with its representation. And in the spirit of what you had said earlier, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to say I think there is a common purpose here amongst us all. I think it's going to be Psalm 127, children are truly a gift. And I think that's what binds us together. I also mentioned Senator Baker, someday you and I will talk about. I knew that you would be able to do it. So we'll get into that. We had a good time working together in the White House. Well, when it comes to education, the BCA has a long history of supporting policy that puts students first and will prepare them to enter college or our workforce. That's why Alabama's college and career-ready standards are of paramount importance. The standards are benchmarks of proficiency in mathematics and English language arts that will better prepare Alabama students for success after graduation. For too long, most states, Alabama included, had a definition of proficiency that was less than accurate for parents and where their children stood academically. This is illustrated by the fact that today, more than 30% of our students entering college need remedial courses in math and over 30% of those that graduate. Many Alabama companies have to spend time and resources with training employees who go directly from high school to the workforce. Support for Alabama's standards, broad and far-reaching, to date nearly 50 different groups representing everyone, from the businesses, parents, teachers, to the military, and more have signed on with GRIT, Alabama GRIT, Graduate Ready, Impact Tomorrow, advocating for high standards. With corporate businesses like Osco and Boeing and Mercedes and Hyundai and Airbus, they must be easy to see why we are no longer competing for a workplace and a workforce with our sister states alone. We are now in a global economy. And you realize that every child today, not tomorrow, but today, is a great education. That means 1 year past high school. That means a certificate to be able to have a trade or to go on. That's what's required of every single person that's in our workforce. Someone once said, and I also mentioned on the graduation, it's quality, quantity, and eradicating remediation. That's the goal of the plan. Someone once said elections are consequences. The 2014 election and the nearly dozen legislative special elections in the previous 4 years have shown time and time again that repealing our standards is not a winning political issue. Millions of dollars were spent to advance those opposing the standards and minimal success at best with the ballot box in 2014. Primary runoffs and general elections. This issue has...
Dr. Canary, I think we're going to have to leave it with the election.
I think I saw 15 seconds.
Okay. I will explain to you. I gave Dr. Biden half an hour.
I told
the other side of one of our speakers a little extra time, and that's why.
So was that the
that was the last one, though. The one you had to specifically discuss. Yeah. Okay, you guys did that. Yeah.
The point I was going to make, and I'll leave the podium, this issue has been politically litigated in the court of political participation during the 24 election. My point of verdict was, please, our standards alone.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Who's next?
Charles Orr.
Welcome, Mr. Chairman, Senators. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. I'm a 37-year veteran of the United States Air Force. I graduated from Air Command Staff College at the Interwar College right here in Montgomery. I have two master's degrees and all but a thesis on a third master's degree. And I am very concerned about my grandchildren who are in the public school right now. Let me get to the bottom line first. The only education system that works, the only system that works is a teacher that is empowered to teach, a student that is motivated to learn, and participation by the family and parents in that process. Common Core does not support the empowerment of teachers. It does not motivate the teacher, and it excludes parents. I took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States. I also took an oath to defend the Constitution of Alabama. You took the same oath. The reason we have the Constitution is to protect rights. Common Core usurps the right of parents to educate their children. The Alabama Baptist Convention represents 3,000 churches and 1.4 million Alabamians. As two out of three citizens oppose Common Core, so does the supermajority of the Alabama Baptists. While I personally do not speak for the convention, I do want to draw your attention to their resolution of November 11, 2014. Alabama's Baptists hold to their obligation before God to train up their own. They expect to be able to provide meaningful input into their children's total education experience in the public education system. The Alabama State has entered into an agreement with the United States Department of Education in a plan called 2020. This is problematic. The standards are not controlled by Alabama, only a small minority. assessments not written by Alabamans are administrative. The standards point to materials that are offensive to Christian values and American exceptionalism for which I was prepared to give my life, to violate student and family privacy, allowing the sharing of data with third parties. It predetermines career paths. A career counselor cannot know who is going to succeed and who is not. I don't care how much data you have. Family is the rightful place for inculcating values and determining career options. I asked you to support Senate Bill 101 and reverse this travesty of education. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Our next speaker.
Judy Welch from the Compound Memory. It is outrageous to me that I still hear people in power positions claim that we
cannot, that we can make our own and tweak and fold. This is simply not true. I've even heard very powerful people in Alabama who claim that we do not have Common Core in Alabama. I have a picture of a child's textbook used in public schools that begs to differ. It states Common Core Edition. On the cover of the textbook, whether you relabel it Alabama College and Career Readiness Standards or something else, it is still Common Core. It's shameful to anyone who tries to represent it to the people in any other way. As a mother of eight, I especially understand that each child is a unique learner. While English and math are important, the needs and talents and interests of each child, according to their God-ordained gifts, should be a factor in their learning. Art, music, PE, and other subjects are being ignored by the students' time and being stolen with tests and test prep materials. Taking tests and scores of those sessions never determine our children's future. Test taking is not real learning. Look at what happened in Georgia, in Atlanta, Georgia, just last week. Teachers are going to federal prison because they are teaching to test. We should be concerned with producing children who love learning. We should focus on the things that have made America exceptional. How many government programs have to fail at the expense of the taxpayer dollar before we start trusting our teachers to do what they went to school to do?
I apologize, but we're going to have to leave it right there. Who is our next speaker?
Beth Kramer, Madison County.
Mrs. Kramer, welcome to the committee meeting. Glad you're here.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, please begin.
I currently hear many positive comments and predictions about how Alabama College are working. Alabama College is a great education. Parents no longer have to worry what their children know. I know how hard this is. I'm the mom of three children in Alabama public school. I will not lie, the standard Alabama College career practice was hard at first, but now it is cooking for our children. Our children struggled and they got frustrated at times. However, they now get it. My daughter is volunteering with a math class for time next. That's a big step. I'm sending a text, and it says, our math is hard, even me, sometimes, but I get it. And it is easy. I think current courses is a great way for students to learn and find hands on work. Before these classes, we were sitting in the test, and a lot of people did not do this right. I am now doing better, and so are my peers. I have an eighth grader. Has been to four different elementary schools and really struggled in math, has an IEP in place, and a disorder that causes learning problems that affect math. Struggled and became very frustrated at times, but stuck with it. And now the new standard. This year it started to click. Now she's performing as one of the top math students, taking honors. It's been tough, and I do not always understand. Homework. However, our children are first by college, Alabama College Career College Study. How many parents, no military families, thank you for standing up to Alabama College. These standards are not only increasing our own children's success, but that of military families transitioning in from other states to other states. You are giving Alabama Public Schools the ability to actually be able. We are asking that you oppose Senate Bill 101 and any effort to alter the current college and career readiness standards. Please, we ask to take the time to go into public schools. See how Alabama College and Career Readiness are working. We chose to stay in Alabama.
I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there, but Senator Ross has a question.
Thank you for being here. In your travels with the team, find yourself someplace where students, your students, may, with because of the standards that they had somewhere else, terms of what they learn because of the teacher.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Well done. Who is next?
Jennifer Case.
Jennifer Case, you have 3 minutes. Thanks. Welcome to the committee.
America is like a healthy body. Its resistance is threefold. It's patriotism, it's morality, and it's spiritual life. If we can undermine these three areas, America will collapse from within. That telling quote is from Joseph Stalin. And I believe one of the final nails in the coffin of this great country of ours is Common Core. You, this committee, have the power to allow this bill to come to a vote and be champions to remove this from our schools. I am a homeschool mother of two, and because of what I know about Common Core, public school is no longer an option. Can I tell you the definition? Can any of you tell me the definition of an infinitive? Well, my 97-year-old grandmother can, my 5- and 7-year-olds can, and they can also recite the preamble to the U.S. Constitution and recite a 200-point timeline from creation to present day, among many other things. This is possible because my grandmother received, and my children are receiving, a classical education. Classical education was how education was delivered throughout America in most of the world. America peaks around 1950, just 3 years after the Supreme Court removed the Bible from schools. The classical education model is still used by many areas of the world and used overwhelmingly by homeschoolers because it is proven and it's worked. Common Core, however, is untested, it is unproven, it was not developed by educators, it uses children as lab rats. It replaces teaching with testing, it is turning education in social engineering. Common Core teaches moral relativism, humanism, it lacks any foundation in teaching in our Constitution and our Founding Fathers, it pushes Islam, it removes classical literature, and it takes the God-given role of the parent from their responsibility to educate and be involved in their children's education. In Huntsville, the children have iPads in lieu of books, so parents are not fully aware of what their own children are learning. Even Steve Jobs of Apple severely limited the amount of technology his own children use. Yet the federal government is pushing a system that uses technology as the primary means of learning. We need to give our children an education that is rich in history and an understanding of how our government was intended to work if we are to preserve the American idea for another generation. The people of Alabama have elected you to lead as our state legislators. Please do so with truth. I implore you to truly research what Common Core is, to allow this bill to come to a vote, and to see that it is not what our children need. Instead of pushing us ahead in education, it will certainly dumb down the next generation. You have the power to protect the state from this overreach and intrusion of the federal government. Exercise the 10th Amendment.
Thank you very much. We're going to have to leave it right there. Thank you for your presentation. Who's next?
Dr. Joe Morton from the Business Education Alliance, Alabama.
Dr. Morton, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee. Thank you for allowing me to come forward.
Those are going to get everybody's attention here. Okay. You're up.
Okay. I was state superintendent of education in Alabama in December of 2010. I made the recommendation to the State Board of Education to adopt the standards that have been used, vetted, discussed in public hearing, and much to my surprise, today Judy Welch is here, and I think she was on that committee.
I was there.
And you were there. You were there, I remember. Standards that were adopted in 2010 were not rush to it. We learned and waited to make sure we did a methodical